Amen. I couldn't, for the life of me, decide what to preach on today. And it wasn't until 7 o'clock, around 7 o'clock, that I was able to finally nail something down. We live in such a sensitive time in our history, don't we? It seems like everyone, every news story, everything you read, there's always someone taking offense at something, canceling someone else, right? That's a new phrase for our day, to cancel someone else, cancel culture. It's the politically correct game on steroids, isn't it? Not surprisingly, over the years, people have taken offense at Jesus Christ and at his church, at you. Why? Why do people take offense in the way that they do against Christ and his church? Well, because the kingdom of God has standards and morals and guidelines, and it places them higher than any earthly law or custom or fad that comes along. It has a king greater than any nation or ruler ever that has our allegiance before and above anything, anyone else, ever. And what's the world's response to all of this? Look at the end of verse 3. And they took offense at him. And if they were offended by him, they most certainly will be offended by you. And if they're not, they're probably not doing something right. The people of his own hometown, even, were offended by Jesus. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Some of us long to see the face of Jesus Christ. Some of us long to bow down and kiss his wounded feet. And here he is, right there in front of them, and how do they respond? They hate him. They're disgusted by Jesus. In the first century, most of the known world was under the rule and dominion of the massive Roman Empire. Even God's people, Israel, were occupied by Rome. So, a state of occupation, then, is the immediate setting that the earliest Christians found themselves in. And it's not insignificant that one of the things that helped Rome grow so much was that they tolerated every single religion, tolerated just about everything. If you wanted to worship a purple dinosaur over in the corner dressed in a tutu, guess what? You could. If you wanted to draw a smiley face on a rock and worship it, you could. There was only one caveat, however. You had to honor the emperor. You had to honor Caesar first. And you had to bow down to him as a god. That's what you had to do in the state of occupied Rome, elevating the state as equal to or even above your God. Equal to or above. This was, of course, technically a problem for the Jews. But, you know, they kind of let it slide and just said, well, whatever, we'll make a show of it. But we don't really believe that about the emperor. But then comes the death of Jesus Christ and the birth of the Christians. These peculiar and strange and unyielding people. The church to whom Jesus sent and set on fire with his Holy Spirit. And do you think that they're going to bow down and worship Caesar? Absolutely not. In fact, this is one of the first things that set the Christians apart from the Jews, in the sight of the world at least. And it's at this point that the Jews really started trying to just sort of distance themselves from these strange, tenacious, stubborn even Christians, these emperor-opposing Jews that were known as the Christians. They didn't want any trouble with the Romans, for goodness sakes. They wanted to continue blending in with the culture. And even though that it was pagan and morally corrupt in so many ways, it was good for business and for pretending to a peaceful living. But it required them to do one thing, to break, unequivocally break, the first commandment. Once Rome realized that this was not the way of the Christians, these people claiming to be the true Israel anyway, that they would not submit to Rome's way of doing things, it became the policy of the state to annihilate them. Our brothers and sisters were hunted down, they were crucified, fed to lions, burned alive, made to fight all sorts of wild beasts in the arena, always, always ending in death, all for saying no to the way that Rome wanted us to do things. The world and the prince of this world said, conform to our way. Bow down and join our debaucherous culture or die. Or die. Now, this may seem far distant to us. Roman culture, for goodness sakes. Rome was so long ago. But, my brothers and sisters, the spirit of Rome still exists today. It's the exact same spirit of the Antichrist. There is no difference. God's people, even in the land of the free and the home of the brave, even on the 4th of July, are still persecuted for following the way of Jesus. We always will be, right? It should not surprise us. Jesus said what? Pick up thy cross and follow after me. Our Master and Lord said that to us. We shouldn't expect otherwise. Still persecuted for following the way of Jesus instead of the way of the world. Even now, that same spirit means to oppress and kill us. It is still our enemy. We have not overcome it. And Rome or the world or whatever you want to call this force that's arrayed against God's holy people is still trying with all of its might to occupy God's holy people, the church. Just as the people in the gospel took offense to Jesus, by Jesus' own brothers and sisters continue to offend the world. Why? Because you are the ones called to bear Jesus Christ to them. And because we will not be assimilated into this world or the way that it does things, we will be crucified for it. And this doesn't surprise the mature, seasoned, experienced Christian. He knows the scripture well. He knows well what is said in verse 12 today, that the church is to go out and proclaim that people should repent. People should repent. You've heard this word, repent, over and over again. You've taken it into your hearts. In fact, it's at the very heart of the Christian religion. But have you considered what it means when you say that word to someone else? Things get, the rubber hits the road at that point, doesn't it? When you say that word to someone else. My goodness, talk about being oppressed in your own household, like Jesus is talking about. If I were to go to my wife and say, you need to repent. Whoo! Goodness. Verse 12 is a whole different ballgame, my brothers and sisters. Go out and proclaim repentance. Recognizing sin in a person's life, whether they be a friend or a family member or whoever else, and talking to them about it in a spirit of gentleness and love, those things are hard enough to do in and of themselves, to speak in gentleness Right? Who's a master at doing that? Nobody. To speak in gentleness and love, ultimately ending up in a place where you call them away from their sin. That is not for the faint of heart. It's immensely, immensely difficult. Because proclaiming repentance at the end of the day means that you're telling the person that they are wrong. They are wrong. This is the sort of stuff that usually does not make a person too terribly popular, right? There's so many people in America today who claim the name of Jesus. They claim the title of Christian. But they don't want him to actually affect change in their lives. Holiness is foreign to them. Holiness was the other thing that I couldn't decide on whether or not to preach today. Holiness is utterly foreign to so many. You see, we have a problem with obedience in our culture. Many people don't even understand the difference between liberty and freedom and license, right? They're the same thing to so many people, liberty and license. One of the darkest and one of the most insidious sins of man today, it's not murder, it's not anything else like that. It's the indifference of the sons and daughters of God to their neighbors. Like the first century Jews just wanting to stick their heads down in the sand and blend in with their culture. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Go by unnoticed. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that. Well, here's the thing. You can't go by unnoticed if you're going to be a Christian. It's quite impossible. You can't proclaim the gospel of repentance and forgiveness with the lives that you are called to live and go by unnoticed. I've heard Christians, our own brothers and sisters, and I've been one of them myself, by the way, say all sorts of self-serving things throughout the years. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those ones who's going to tell you how to be. I'm not going to tell you what you're doing is wrong, especially my wife. I'm not that kind of brother. I'm not that kind of sister. I'm not the kind of brother that sees you sinking down into the abyss and will mercifully reach out my hand to you. I'm not that kind of brother. You don't have to worry about me trying to evangelize or convert you or anything else. Why? Because I'm not that kind of Christian. You don't have to worry about me talking about repentance or sin or Jesus. Why? I'm not that kind of Christian. Right? They're indifferent. That's indifference. Is that the type of Christian that our Lord calls us to be? Does Jesus' suffering and death mean so little to us that we don't care what he commands us to do in his love for the world? That we can't even open our mouths and encourage anyone, even our closest friends and family, to repent? I say to you, be that kind of Christian. For God's sake, be that kind of Christian that loves his brother, his sister, enough to call them to repentance and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Be that kind of Christian. And don't worry what anyone else thinks about you. Because these such people are exactly the hypocrites Jesus exhorts us not to be. Their actions look nothing like the confession of their tongues. And you cannot confess that Jesus is Lord and then act and live your life like he is not. Don't be that person. Don't be a coward. The people who act this way don't want others to think that they're any different from anyone or anything else. Because at the heart of it, they're ashamed of Jesus. They're ashamed of their Lord. They're ashamed of his cross. Why? Because these sorts of people are not just concerned with the way of the world. They are preoccupied with it. It is a dire and deadly condition. My brothers and sisters, they've been occupied by Rome, occupied by the prince of this world, the dragon of Revelation, precisely because they have been preoccupied with it. And Satan will drag down with him everyone he can straight to the bowels of hell. The work that you've been called to by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, of bearing him on your lips, lifting him up in your lives, is offensive. It is offensive. And so I hope that you have and will offend people along the way. We're offensive because in a world that has an insatiable desire to devour both body and soul, we have a duty to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ precisely to those who seek to devour us. Now, how about that? We're loving your enemy. And you can't tell me that that's not hard. It's not difficult to do. We are offensive because we bear witness to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are offensive because for 2,000 years, we have proclaimed the gospel of God's precious and unending grace, and we are not about to stop anytime soon. God is with you, and he bears you up. So go and do it. Go and do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.